We would honor everybody, right? We wouldn't have a culture of honor here, but obviously, particularly moms, particularly mothers. And there's several scriptures we could look at. I just want to look quickly at Deuteronomy chapter 5. We have this scripture. It says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and it would go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And here we see this command to honor, to bring honor. And honor is the again, it's a Hebrew word, of course, out of the Old Testament. And the word is timaho. And it means to fix a value, to fix a price. It literally means a weight. Like if back in the day, you would put more weight on a scale if something had greater value. Okay, so it's adding weight. So when you say you honor somebody, you're giving them weight. Many of us have heard the phrase, well, their opinion carries weight. What you're really saying is their opinion carries honor. That's what you could say in a different way. That their opinion, yeah, this opinion carries honor. So you could actually read the scripture and God would be saying, give weight to your father and mother's opinion, right? It should have some weight. It should carry something with you, right? And that's what God's speaking of here in the moment. You know, my mother that I honor is a biological mother. She's now in heaven. All right, but that's who my mothering person was. For you, it may not have been your biological mother. Maybe it was a grandmother. Maybe it was an aunt. Maybe it was a family friend who became an aunt. All right, but there's someone that you look to and say, this is the person that really mothered me. You know, and that's the person we want to honor. That's the person that we want to honor in our lives. All of us, I hope, have someone like that in our lives or had someone like that in our lives. See, honor matters to God. Jesus, 5 times it's recorded, brought up, honor your father and your mother. 5 times. 5 times it's recorded. When things are repeated like that, it should tell us something. It's important to Jesus. If it's important to Jesus, it should be important to me, right? So he said that, again, so I see that. This is something that is repeated over and over. How about Jesus in Matthew 15? He's recorded as saying, he who speaks evil of their parents should be put to death. That's pretty serious, huh? Right? We're glad we're not walking in that age anymore. Amen? Okay? But the point is, honor matters. Respect matters. That's what God wants us to catch here. Honoring is important to God. And so today, we'll remember, look, we should be honoring those who were our mothers, those who cared for us in such a way. Now, some of you are here thinking right now, you never met my mother, okay? You didn't meet my mom, okay? You didn't meet her. And are all parents deserving of honor because of their actions? No. But are we commanded to honor them? Yes. Yes, it says we're commanded to honor our mother and our father. So, but it begs the question, how do you honor someone who has been cruel? How do you honor someone who has abandoned me and hasn't been in that position? How do I do that? And listen, obviously, see, we need to see our mothers in this case through the eyes of God. We need to see them as God sees them, not just what we have seen with our eyes or experienced. Okay, well, how do I do that? What's that mean? Listen, you can choose not to speak negatively of your mother in this case, or of your parents. That's a choice. You have choices. You know, many of us we're still reliving things in our minds and with our words that happened even decades ago. All right, now you can choose to live in that place, but again, if we're going to honor them, one of the ways you honor them is stop doing that. Stop speaking negatively of them, no matter what happened back in the day. Also, look, forgive them. Forgive them. There is a need to forgive. You can say, but you don't know what they did. That's right. I don't know, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just as the exhortation came forward today was, you know, Jesus forgave us. He died for us when we were still sinners, right? When I first heard about what he did for me, I didn't even care, okay? But he still died. He laid down his life, right? And so again, we need to forgive. It's necessary. It's necessary. You can say, well, they when they ask for forgiveness, then I'll forgive them. No, that's not the way it works. Not the way it works. Then say, listen, when you refuse to forgive, remember, you're the one in prison. You're the one in self-imposed prison. All right, so again, how do you honor your parents? Forgive them. Make that choice to forgive. And then, this is one of the ways you know you forgave them. Pray for their good. Literally, pray for their good. Pray that they would come, if they're still in that lost place, pray that they come to that knowledge of God. Pray that they see how much God loves them and cares for them. Right? But listen, because if you're going to pray good for them, it's really hard to be judgmental against somebody you're praying good over. Right? And so I said, do you want to know if you're set free? Well, can you pray good? Can you pray good over your mother in this case, or anyone for that regard? Okay, so we want to be able to pray for them. And he said, we got to honor them just by respecting their age, their life experiences. You know, listen, even the most terrible moms, okay, listen, the vast majority of them came from terrible circumstances. You know, I can look at things that my parents went through, particularly my father, and yeah, I can understand the way he was because I understand when I start learning the history of how he was raised. Right? See, so again, I'm not going, I need to see, in this case, mom, the way God sees them. Okay, I'm not going to give them honor and respect, okay, because of what they've done. I'm going to give them honor and respect, do them, because God created them in his image. I'm going to give them honor and respect because Jesus Christ said they are worth dying for. They're worth God said, I will lay down my life for them. If God says he's going to lay down his life for them, they must have a lot of value. God says they're deserving of honor, not because of what they've done, but because of who they are. That next slide, please. A culture of honor celebrates who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. A culture of honor celebrates who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. Many of you should take a picture of that, okay, and hold on to that, because that'll help you. That will help you process a lot of issues with a lot of different people, okay? Again, that's what a culture of honor does, okay? We're not going to stumble over who they're not. Let's remember, they were made in the image of God, and Jesus laid down his life for them. They must have great value in God's eyes, right? That's reality. That's reality. So, and listen, when we talk about honoring mothers in this case, it doesn't mean to co-sign on their insanity, all right? Again, we got to give a caveat here. All right, just again, if your parents are still, they're still walking in a dysfunctional way, we're not saying that honor does not mean I'm going to give into that and help them in their self-destruction. Okay, because real love has real truth, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, but we can honor them. We can choose not to speak negative. We can help them every way that we can. Right? When, again, as we follow the leading of the Spirit, we can choose to forgive. We can choose to pray. Right? Those are things that we can do. We always want to give, again, a hand up, not a hand out. Okay, all the time. See, and honestly, too, when it comes to honor, I want to live in a culture of honor. I like to have honor in our family. I like to have honor in our church family. I mean, honor, it's a principle that God has. You know, when you honor someone, you're encouraging them. It speaks life to them. And you know also what happens when you're honoring is it pushes you into a place of humility. I'm choosing to walk in humility. And what does God do when we walk in humility? It says he lifts us up. God lifts you up. God lifts you up. He encourages you as you humble yourself. Okay, so in other words, when we walk in this way, we choose a culture of honor. We're edifying others. You're encouraging other people. And you're being lifted up yourself by God. He's encouraging you in the moment. Okay, so, and again, think about this, take it a step further. The scripture that we read out of Deuteronomy said, look, when you honor your mother, it will go well with you. And it will go well with your future. That's a good promise of God. Okay, listen, when it says it's going to go well with you in the land, it's not talking about just financial blessing and materialism. No, it's talking about it's going to go well with you in the state of your heart and your life. It's saying that, look, you will walk with a peace of mind. How valuable is peace of mind? Right? There's no price on peace of mind. Right? Again, the scripture says that also, listen, if we're going to honor our parents, you're going to have a purpose for your life, a purpose for living, not just to have more entertainment today than yesterday, but a purpose to live. It speaks about walking in a supernatural strength, a confidence that you've never known before, right? And I believe it also speaks of prosperity, that you're going to prosper even as you prosper on the inside. Okay, God wants to bless us. So these things will happen. It'll go well with us. So I tell you, I want to live in that culture. Amen? Don't you want to live in a culture? Man, we want to out-honor each other. Okay, I think of the scripture where Jesus spoke in Matthew 10. We're not going to turn there, but he made a statement. He said, "Hey, if you receive a prophet, okay, in their gifting, receive a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. If you receive or just a good man, you receive a good man's reward. And if you honor children, if you give them a drink, look, you get a reward for that too." So what do we catch out of that? We honor up, like the prophet. We honor down to the children, and we honor all around to the righteous people about us. So we want to honor up, honor down, honor all around. Okay, let's say that together: honor up, honor down, honor all around. I want to live in that culture. That is a life-giving culture. That's a life-giving culture, man. I want to be part of that. And again, I don't honor you because of what you do. I honor you because of who you are in Him, right? Again, not going to focus on what you're not, as we see here. All right, I'm going to focus on who God has created you to be. Amen? Let's live in that absolute perfect culture of honor. So what we want to do right now, listen, we're not done yet, okay? Not done yet, but let's pray. I want you to pray for your mother or your mother figure right now. Okay, I'm just going to ask blessing upon them. Okay, I'll lead it, all right? But again, just call to mind right now. Father, we just come before you. Just call to mind our mothers or that special aunt or grandmother. Father God, we're asking, Lord Jesus, for you to bless them. God, I want to see them just the way you are. And for some of us, that's real easy. For others of us, it's more of a challenge. Father, speak life. God, I pray, Lord God, make us people who can exhort and encourage, God, seeing our moms not for what they're not, but for who they are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, you have an assignment. There's an assignment as you leave today, okay? And next slide, please. There's an assignment, and he said, in this assignment, this is what you need to do. You either need to write a note to your mother or mother figure, and really express care, really express thanks. I want you to, it has to be longer than three sentences, guys, okay? Three sentences. That's particularly to the men, all right? Okay, it can't be one sentence. Again, put a paragraph together. Or have an eye-to-eye talk, encouragement with a mom. And I said, so one of those. Now, you can say, well, if you're like myself and your mother has passed, what I want you to do is I want you to be able to encourage a woman who maybe has never been able to have children, or their children are past, that you could encourage them. Speak life. Speak honor. We can speak honor. Can you do that? That's your homework today. That's your homework as we go forward. Okay, so, all right, let's move on here. Moms have influence. Moms have influence. You know, good or bad, moms have great influence on children. Right? They do. They do. Moms are going to be an example of something, right or wrong. A mom, you know, when I think about, again, think about this. Moms affect their children by the way they speak. Okay, by the way they speak, you know, are they encouraging or judging? They influence by their attitude. Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty person? Okay, the way they react to offenses. Are you quick to forgive or quick to get even, right? Which one are you? Again, just to how we treat others. Moms have influence. I mean, I think of my mother, who, again, served God. She came to follow God when I was a teenager, when I was in junior high school. She started serving God. And there was a profound change in her life. I remember it was a visible change that happened inside of her. And she was such a great example of integrity and just doing things right, you know. But I'll tell you, the greatest thing, though, was she exhibited this love for God. She exhibited a love for Jesus. You couldn't ignore it. Tim, if I could get water, please. Thank you. And so, again, she did many great things, but the thing that mattered the most The thing that mattered the most was, is the lid open? Okay, is the lid open for me? Open it, I can. Thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that. Yes, I'm that helpless. I didn't want to. That looks a little scary, huh? Okay. Little experiment. Amen. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But my mother had this quick smile. She was positive. She had influence on some people here even. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't her personality that made her a great influencer. It was her relationship with Jesus Christ. And everybody can have a relationship with Jesus. Everyone can have a great influence. It wasn't her personality. It wasn't her constitution. It was Jesus Christ that made the difference. Right? And we need to hear that. See, particularly for ladies here, again, so often, man, it's a scheme of the devil to bring condemnation and make moms feel like failures. Okay? It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. It needs to be broken. It needs to be broken. That's not true. See, the thing that makes you great is your relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing who you are in Him. Okay? Because you're not going to be perfect. Right? Are there any perfect moms out there? Okay, if you think so, we're going to pray for you first today. But he said, right, there's no one perfect. So we want you to be encouraged. But it's Jesus Christ. In other words, it wasn't some DNA thing that you received that makes you a great mom. It's Jesus. Say Jesus. He's the one that makes a great mother. Okay, that's why you can have a great influence. And what's great, though, too, is if we think about this moment today, we're just going to exhort you for a few minutes. Look, that's applicable to everyone. I want to have great influence. You want to have great influence. I don't care if you're a young mother, or you're an aunt, or you're a senior in high school. We all want to have influence, people around us. We can be people of great influence. I said, it's your connection to God that makes you a great influencer. You know, Romans 14, 17 very simply says the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. Righteousness, joy, and peace. People who know God, they do right things. They're righteous, but they have joy. There is a joy inside of them. They don't do right things just because they have to do right things. They do right things because it's exciting. There's a joy, and there is a peace of mind. That is what we have that should be overflowing out of us. And listen, all of us, many of us, we've been serving God here for a while, but you know, at times I can still fall into, I just serve God because it's the right thing to do. But there's no joy in it. There should be a joy and an excitement in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. If I'm missing that joy, I'm missing that peace, man, great, your heart may be pure, but wow, you're living way below where God called you to be. You don't have to live there. You can walk in joy and peace. Isn't that good news? That's what God has for us, man. Okay, so what are the attributes of influencers? Some great attributes. Like, we can all have the influence of great mothers when we show unconditional love, speak unconditional truth, and embrace unstoppable transitions. Unstoppable transitions. Let's just look at these. Great mothers show unconditional love. And I'm not going to take the time to read this, but this is the story many of us are familiar with, where there was a woman who was not a Jew. She was a Gentile from Syrian Phoenicia. Okay, and she had a daughter that was demon-possessed. She was in bad shape. She came to Jesus, said, Jesus, basically heal my daughter. Jesus said, you know, I came for the Jews. I came for the Jews first. I didn't come for the Gentiles. Okay, pretty harsh, right? We can do a whole series on that. But what does she do? What does it say that she does? It says that she, when she hears him say that, okay, she replied, that's true, Lord, in verse 28, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Jesus said to her, that's a good answer. Your daughter's healed. Okay, but here's the point. This woman was willing to do anything to see her daughter healed. Anything. She was willing to be humiliated. Right? She was willing to lay herself low. Anything for her daughter. That's an example of unconditional love. This is the mom who works two jobs, right? This is the mom who comes home from work and still has to make dinner and then do the homework and get to soccer practice, okay? They'll do anything
That's
unconditional love. I was thinking of a scripture that we all know, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul was writing to these new Christians in Corinth, right? He was defining this agape love, the highest form of love. And where it says love is patient and kind, not jealous, boastful, or proud. Now think of this in the term of a mother, right? Patient, kind, not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude, doesn't demand its own way, not irritable, keeps no record of wrong, right? Listen, this is what unconditional love looks like, right? And this is the love that we should have. See, if unconditional love is, when you walk in this, you're building a home that is an incubator for strong adults. All right, that's what happens. Now, the same way though, the building a house takes time, effort, patience, investment. Look, building an environment of great influence takes time, effort, and patience. It needs to be built. How many found that like getting those attributes in your life takes some time? Right? Takes some time to get those into us. But it builds a phenomenal environment. It builds an environment that is a secure environment. It builds an environment where kids can be raised in a place where they can have an opinion. They have freedom to make mistakes. They're not going to get beat into the ground, right? I mean, there's a freedom to make errors. It's they can express themselves. It's an environment that creates and builds confident adults. Confident adults. A line I heard a long time ago that I just love for mothering, for parenting. A mother told me one time, she said, I'm not raising happy children, I'm raising happy adults. Not raising happy children, I'm raising happy adults. That means I'm going to love them, but I'm going to get into our second point here, and I'm going to speak truth to them. Truth to them. Okay, because that's the second attribute that we're talking about today. If you're going to be a person of great influence, okay, you've got to speak unconditional truth. Unconditional truth. Here's a scripture out of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, if you don't know, it speaks about a woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, that half the Christian woman love and half the other half Christian women can't stand because she seems perfect, all right? But let's just see what it says here about this woman of God. It says, when she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions with kindness. What do you do when you're instructing? You're speaking truth. You're giving input. You're speaking truth. Great mothers, great influencers speak truth. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And again, this is a scripture. If you don't have underlined in your Bible, you should have it underlined. It should define every day of your life. Okay, if you're going to have great influence, you got to speak truth. And Solomon wrote, he says, don't let kindness, and this kindness, listen, this word is a Hebrew word called, it's chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed is like the Hebrew, the Old Testament equivalent of agape, highest form of love. It's used 176 times in the Old Testament. Okay, and again, because God's defining this high-level love. And so we don't have a word for chesed. And so in the Bible, you'll see it, sometimes it's mercy, sometimes it's kindness. Usually, it's loving kindness. In English, we don't have a word to define it, so they put two words together, loving kindness, to try to define it. Okay, so right here, the writer says, don't let kindness and truth leave you. Kindness, love, and truth. See, listen, this is where we error so much, and moms struggle. Okay, you can't just give love. You can't just give kindness. You have to give truth. If you just give love, what happens? Right? Again, there's a spoiling. There's an enabling. Love has to have truth. Okay, but look what happens when we walk in this. Check the result. Now, first he says, he wants you, like, catch the imagery. How important is this to Solomon? He says, this is what I want you to do. Listen, I want you to bind this around your neck. Okay, bind this around your neck, this kindness and truth. Then he says, write it on the tablet of your heart. Why? You will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God, in the sight of man. Who here doesn't want a good reputation in front of God? Or favor? It says you also get it in front of man. How? Speak kindness and truth. Now, of course, the problem we have as humans is we want to major on one side or the other. We're either very proud of the way we love, or we're very proud of the way we tell people the truth. And if you're too slanted to either side, you're both wrong. Kindness and truth wins favor. All right? Children need absolute kindness. They need to lay down your life, but they need to hear the truth. We've got to speak truth. See, there is no real love without the balance of justice. There is a justice that's necessary. Kids need to hear that, right? And so, man, we don't want to miss sight of that. Great mothers speak truth. Okay, again, as noted in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, listen, moms don't tolerate injustice. Right? They don't tolerate injustice. It needs to be spoken to. You know, and if you're going to have great influence, you need to be willing to tell children or friends, right, or anyone. All right, listen, you can't just major in love. You got to tell people. If they're being rude, they need to be told. Okay, if they're misleading people, they need to be told. When they're making a nuisance of themselves, they need to be told. Okay, moms who refuse to tell children the truth, okay, wind up making excuses for them. Okay, you wind up making excuses. And what you do is you create problems for yourself as a mom, and you create problems for them down the road. Right? If kids don't ever hear the truth, if they're not hearing the truth, they start thinking that truth is a moving line. Right? Because moms are, if you're not going to tell your kids the truth, you're also setting yourself up for easy manipulation. Okay? Now, as parents, I think we all know we've been manipulated sometimes, but I ain't making it easy. Okay, all right? All right? If you're not going to tell them the truth, you're setting them up for a real crash in the future. Okay, so I said, our culture desperately needs people to speak truth. We need to stand, and we have to be willing to put a line in the sand in the right moment, not just for the sake of controversy, but in the right moment, we have to be willing to tell the truth. Okay, if I'm going to have someone sit across the table from me and tell me men can have babies, I'm going to tell them that's not the truth. Okay, that's men can have babies. A woman can call herself a man, but she's still a woman. Right? That's telling the truth. Okay, so we've got to be people who are willing to tell the truth if you're going to have great influence. So this scripture, this Proverbs 3, hold on to this. Okay, let's go through this last one. To have great influence, you have to embrace unstoppable transitions. Now, when you have children, man, the times are going to change. And we got people here all over the spectrum, right? From infants to adult children. And those relationships have changed, haven't they? Right? They've transformed. Remember when Jesus, I'll read this one in a second, but remember in Luke, it says at age 12, they went to Jerusalem, and they all started headed back home and to Nazareth, and they found out Jesus wasn't with them, and because they thought he was with relatives, and they go back and they find him in the temple. And they were saying, what are you doing? He said, don't you know I was about my father's business? Wow, there was a change. There was a transition that Mary had to accept in that moment, okay? But she had to accept that, wow, he's 12. Our relationship is changing. And how about this moment in time, okay? Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They couldn't get to him. Verse 20, someone told Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside. Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it. How do you think mom felt about that when she heard that one? Who's my mother? Mary had to face unstoppable transitions. Every mother has to face unstoppable transitions. Again, great influencers recognize this. To not recognize those, you're going to hinder growth in a young adult. You're going to create an unhealthy codependence. All right, we've got to be willing to accept it. Relationships are going to change. Great moms accept this. And think about it. Listen, if you have great influence on someone, great influence. You know, again, there's people I've been able to disciple in my life, but those relationships change. Right? As they grow up, they don't need me. They don't need me, right? They can go disciple other people. Relationships change. They transform. And we have to be willing to accept that. You know, they grow. They grow. I mean, they grow. Just like with kids. And we raised six kids, okay? Almost none of them live with us. I'm just teasing my son. I'm teasing Sam, who's the MC today, because they're living with us because they're building a home. Okay, all right. Okay, he's not in the basement doing video games. So just so you know. All right, we're building a home. So okay. Did I cover that good? You good? All right. Okay. It was too easy. It's too easy. I had to say it. Okay, but the point being, though, relationships have changed. They have transformed. We had to release them. Some of them don't live in our state. We have to release them. God's called them. They need to do what God's calling them to do. We only have that influence for a short period of time. No, even in our own business, many of you know we own a business. Well, now we've transitioned. Sam's the president. I'm the vice president. Why? Because life pushes transitions. We have to be willing to accept them. Listen, I'll give you some sage advice. My mother said to my wife and I when we got married about life transitions. She said this. She said, I reserve the right to give you my opinion, and you reserve the right to not listen to it. Right? And I appreciate that. Right? She said, I want to give opinions, but you don't have to listen. Right? And again, see, because why? She recognized our relationships have changed. Okay, healthy people know this. Look at this next slide. A mother is not a person to lean on, but a terse person to make leaning unnecessary. All right, a mother is not a person to lean on, but a person to make leaning unnecessary. Okay, again, that's the role. That's the role. And that we don't necessarily like all the roles God puts us in. Right? I mean, we'd like having our kids close. See, but you can have them close. But you got to recognize there's transitions. Andy Stanley years ago put out 4 stages of parenting, which I thought are really good. Don't have a slide on this. But he said, it starts with discipline. Okay, first you're disciplining a young child. Okay, but then it turns into training a child. Then when they become teenagers, you're coaching. But then when they become adults, it's friendship. But you have to recognize that relationships transition from discipline to training to coaching to friendship. Right? And we want to be able to make those transitions well. Why? Because we want to have great influence. And to have great influence means I'm recognizing people are going to grow up and move on. Okay, listen. In a race, only one person wins, Paul said. He gave us that metaphor. And what I really want to encourage you ladies, listen, it's not about how you began this race. You can be sitting here today saying, I blew it, I didn't do any of that stuff. Listen, the race isn't over, right? You know, in a mile race, there's 4 laps. Nobody remembers who led at the 3rd lap, okay? It's about the 4th lap. It's about how you finish. So I don't want anyone leaving here today saying, man, I've fallen short. No, there's still more race to run. You can say, well, my kids are gone and I don't have any children anymore. There are people all around you that need encouraged and loved and life spoken into them. All around you, in this room, there are women that could use you and your encouragement to speak life and hope to them. Right? The race is not over. The race is not over. And again, you may say, well, I haven't honored my mother. Well, that can change today. That can change today. All right? And just that last slide, please. Again, this is what we're going to do. This is how you walk with great influence. Unconditional love, unconditional truth, embrace unstoppable transitions. And we can be people who have great influence on the people around us. So again, let's have all the ladies stand up. All the ladies stand up. We're going to pray for all the ladies here. Okay, guys, right? Are we willing to do that? Just want to speak life to them. Want to speak hope to them. Man, it's okay. So let's just pray. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you. And God, for all the women standing in the room. I'm just going to cover this just quickly. But again, God, for those that, again, first they their relationship with their own mother was not good. Father, I just pray, God, that they can just see what you see in their mothers, and that they can release their mothers, that they can appreciate what they've done, that they can speak life and hope if their mom's still here. They can speak encouragement. They can speak appreciation. Father God, for those, again, that had moms that they look up to, again, God, they can speak life and hope. And God, they can actually continue her legacy going forward. Father, for those standing up and they're saying, I wasn't a good mom. There is no guilt and condemnation for those who know Jesus. That's a fact. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation. You're not condemned for how you failed or how you haven't done it. In the name of Jesus, be set free. The race is not over. The race is not over. I'm going to continue to speak life and hope. For those here, and again, you've had the pain of not being able to have children. We don't claim to understand any of that. But God, we're asking, Father, first that you can esteem and love your mother and that you could be an encourager and a life giver to those around you, those even in the same place that you are. God, for those older who have no one to care for them. God, we want to be women who speak life, women who speak hope. So God, let no one walk out of here without encouragement in the Spirit of God. Now, men, you stand up also. And again, just with eyes closed, we come before you. And God, we thank you that we can all be people of influence, that our value is because of Jesus, not because of ourselves. And if you're here today, and again, you've been here during worship, and you've heard things about God's love and care, and you're saying, man, I need to know more about this. I need to have an understanding. Who is this Jesus? I've been challenged that there's things about him and who he is that I don't know. I don't know about him the way these people do. And you're saying, I want to know. I want to understand. I need understanding of who Jesus is. If that's you today, we don't want you to leave without, again, letting somebody be able to talk to you about that. So if that's you today, if you again, raise your hand. Jesus was bold in dying for us. If you want information, you want to know, what's it mean? What's it mean to be one who is a follower of Jesus? Okay, we just want to encourage you. Again, we just wait a moment. We'll just wait for a few seconds. Because if that's you, we don't want you to leave without that assurance. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's the only way to find hope in life. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to serve you in this place, in this age. God, let everyone walk out of here saying, I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to do my assignment. I'm going to speak life today and this week as we remember God's love. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Give the Lord a hand. You can be seated.